Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
I'm rightly meditated by the sights here, and you're with us. We're Bio in Unfold Dove. And by the way, you can text, that's open as well today from Dublin. They're going to send it to us through the magic of technology and whatnot. Cúigeáin, Cúigeáin, 51551. That's the text. Now, let's find out a little bit more about the place I'm in. I'm off mic now in a second. Because Fergus Sweeney's family is steeped in the history of this building that we're upon, a very deep connection to the lighthouse. And he works here now in this latest era for Unfold Dove, helping tourists and anyone else who wants to understand this landmark a little bit better. Fergus, Fáilte.
Gigach Oliver, because Fáilte go chasalus on Fodov.
Oh my God, Cadintus on, I'm sure, is absolutely
gahalin. Fáilte gahalin, it's absolutely beautiful.
This is incredible. It's a square building, Fergus, just to paint the picture for people. It's
That's
a square
right,
lighthouse.
Yeah, we are one of the very few square lighthouses that you will find around the coastline of Ireland. And that's a result of the budget at the time when they came construct the building.
Okay.
Yeah, they had £2,440, so they couldn't afford the labour cost to cut your round tower. So they decided to build us square, and we're glad they did.
And it's worked very well, hasn't it?
It has.
The late middle of the 19th century, really. Your family's been attending or involved in the lighthouse since when?
So my grandfather took over here in 1933 as the attendant at the lighthouse. He retired in 1981, and my uncle Vincent, he then took over, and he lived here until 1991. So nobody lives in the building today, but my uncle and my father, they both operate the lighthouse here today. They're both still very much on the ground here.
That's a long stretch.
It is.
And that lighthouse keeper, your grandfather, Ted Sweeney.
Ted Sweeney, that's
and
right.
And Maureen Sweeney, they that's were the kind of co-lighthouse keepers, because she has a famous moment
that's
in history.
Right. With her DJ weather observations.
They lived here completely from the 30s.
They did, yes. Yeah, right up until the early 80s they lived here. Yeah, raised the family here. So it's a lighthouse, it's a family home, it's a tourist attraction. You know.
Do you remember them? Do you remember coming to visit?
Oh, yeah. I was very fortunate to have them with us as I grew up here. And I suppose my granddad was very much, you know, a lighthouse keeper, a man of the sea. So he'd sit you down, he'd tell you the stories, and you kind of, you know, he set your imagination on fire with his memories, you know.
Yeah. Where were you brought up then?
So when I came into the world, my father was stationed on Tory Island. My mother was the island nurse. So my first experience, my first couple of years were spent on Tory Island. And then Dad had an opportunity to move back to County Mayo to work from Mayo. So we up sticks from Donegal and we moved back to the home village here in Blacksod.
And your mother was from Manor Hamilton?
That's right, a Leitrim woman.
You were telling me the story earlier about, tell them how you were born.
Yeah, so
because
I
suppose
a couple of days before I arrived, the helicopter got to Tory Island, picked Mam up, flew her straight to the grounds of the maternity hospital in Manor Hamilton. Of course, then a day or two later, I came into the world. And a few days after that, we were flown back to Tory Island.
The most incredible bit of the maternity hospital there was.
There was at the time in Manor Hamilton, yeah.
And you're back as a, what do you say, 2 days later?
About 2 or 3 days later, yeah. Whenever they kind of decide that she's ready to bring her new baby home, you know.
You're the original Hardy Bucks.
There you go, original Hardy Bucks.
But if anyone asks you, because you've got Donegal with Tory Island, Leitrim with Manor Hamilton, you always say you're a Mayo man.
Exactly, yeah. You can't let down the Mayo side, you know.
The history obviously gives the tourism push here. How is Blacksod on Unfold Dove at the moment for history and tourism?
Yeah, I think some of the biggest draw we get for tourists here is the history associated with the lighthouse, with the region, with the area. You know, people are, I guess, they're fascinated by it. We're kind of still very new to telling our story, I think, this little corner of North Mayo. And I think when people come, they see how we've lived over the years with the winter storms and the, you know, the lighthouses. Us having 4 lighthouses in the area. I think it's a fascinating story that we get to tell the visitors.
Unbelievable, particularly the spectacular lighthouse off land here, Black Rock Lighthouse.
That's right, 12 miles west of us.
And there's all sorts of amazing stories. I saw downstairs a thing about hooks for children on the walls of the little island rock.
I guess you could have up on, you know, 9 children living on that island for up to 8 months. And of course the parents were busy. It's maybe 300 metres by 60 metres wide. So they didn't have a babysitting service. So they did the next best thing they could. So they lashed their children onto metal posts around the island. And that way could get on with their work. And, you know, their little children wouldn't disappear off the side of the island, you know.
That's extraordinary, because even getting onto it, they were winched from little boats.
From boat up onto the island, yeah, because Blackrock is notorious for having large waves almost all year round. So it was impossible to get to the little pier. So they would lift the people out of the boats, you know, over 200 foot in some cases, up the cliff.
You have the four lighthouses here. I mean, there must have been incredible excitement when they were being built back in that day, bringing such importance to the area.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think of Ireland in the 1800s and maybe the manner in which the local people lived, and all of a sudden they start to see these lighthouses being erected along the coastline. And, you know, as I said, it's the equivalent, I think, to if Elon Musk was to come and put a SpaceX station here, it must have just been amazing for the people to see these buildings, which were the cutting edge technology of their time.
And they're really important now, aren't they?
Yeah, still very much important as aids to navigation all around the coastline of Ireland. You know, all the lighthouses still function as aids to navigation, and that's through Irish Lights, you know.
And the tourism.
That's right, tourism is a whole new aspect now. So we have the Great Lighthouses of Ireland, which we're celebrating 10 years of this year, you know.
Cohort.
So we're very much in the middle of our celebrations with that. And I guess they're giving the lighthouses another reason, another purpose. People can now come, they can go into the lighthouse, they get to hear each lighthouse's unique stories. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, all our colleagues that work at these lighthouses, they're very passionate about their own buildings and their own history and stories.
The star quality here has to be the D-Day weather report.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's one of the biggest draws is to find out my grandmother, my grandfather's story and how they sent those crucial weather observations that influenced the D-Day landings and, you know, resulted in the date change for D-Day.
Yeah. They were ready to go deploy the entire Allied force to France on the 5th of June until... and the weather forecast from their point of view over in England was it's going to be grand weather.
Yeah, well they had been experiencing unsettled weather, so the weather teams for DJ were a little bit pessimistic. And then my grandmother comes on shift in the weather station here, and at 3 a.m. she makes her crucial readings, which shows the pressure falling in the village. And of course, once this information makes its way to Supreme Allied Command, it's kind of worst case scenario. They now realise that if this storm is in Blacksod on June the 3rd, it will have met its way to Normandy by the 5th. So obviously this is just not what they wanted to hear. They will then contact the weather station directly to verify that this is correct. And once they verify, they can then confidently go to General Eisenhower and tell him, look, we've got a storm imminent. We really need to consider putting this operation on hold, which eventually they do after a crucial meeting.
Yeah.
And then mere hours after they've kind of postponed D-Day, Blacksod again sees what's happening once the storm passes over us, that there is an improvement in the weather. So again, that information makes its way to Allied Command. And that's what makes them realise we're going to have favourable weather on June 6th.
Do you know how long before Maureen Sweeney, your grandmother, realised the importance of what she was, because she sent the message as well, didn't she?
So she doesn't realise that her readings are that last bit of the puzzle for D-Day until 1956.
As late as that?
As late as 1956, when Met Éireann will actually build the Belmullet weather station.
Yeah.
They come to remove the instrumentation from Blacksod and kind of mention to them in passing, well, you know, guys, Your readings were the crucial readings. They were the last thing the commanders for D-Day had to kind of look at before they could make their final decision. So yeah, it took a while for them obviously to realise. And I guess then later in Maureen's life, mm-hmm. it becomes almost internationally known. The story blows up, as it were, that, you know, this little weather station on the west coast of Ireland kind of sealed D-Day and guaranteed its success.
It took a while for people to understand it properly, didn't it? Because she lives a long life.
She does, yeah. She lives till she's 105 months, 100 years of age and five
incredible.
Months. You know, incredible, incredible longevity, yeah. I just hope I got her genes.
So, given the Hardy books from Tory Isle of Manor Hamilton.
Yeah.
And your uncle Vincent was showing me the special honour that she received.
That's right, yeah. So in 2021, she receives a congressional record and a congressional medal for her observations that night from the US government, you know, which, you know, is massive and, you know, something that we're immensely proud of as a family, but also the community, that the community can claim her, you know.
It's a fascinating story, and it's one that you tell here, and all the lighthouse stories are told in this new centre, Solace. Tell us about that.
That's right, yeah. So the Solace Centre works in conjunction with Blacksod Lighthouse. Blacksod was phase one of a community enterprise project where we would open the lighthouse up to the public and offer tours. So we started that in 2021. Mm-hmm. We're now 4 years down the road into that. We now have the Solace Visitor Centre opened in the village of Ocklim, and we've got three galleries where we give the overall history of Erris, from its people to its wildlife, its environment and its maritime history.
That's brilliant. Essential, isn't it?
Yes, it is for an area like us. You know, we're kind of an up-and-coming tourist destination now, so it's a real draw for people to come in where they can hear these stories firsthand, either from the self-guided experience or with one of our knowledgeable guides here.
This place is also very important for the Irish Coast Guard.
That's right. We are a forward search and rescue refueling station. So my uncle, who is the attendant, he's on call 24/7 here. And at the drop of a
hat,
We can be refueling helicopters.
And of course, people will know, we're familiar with the crash in 2017, very tragic incident involving Rescue 116.
Yeah, that's right. We found ourselves, I suppose, at the heart of that search operation for Rescue 116. A very difficult time for everyone here, but also a time when the community really rallied together and gave us so much support. And, you know, I think we kind of did everything that we could to try and get through that time.
Our four Coast Guard heroes sadly lost their lives.
That's right, yeah. Never forgotten here in the area.
You
always keep their memory alive.
One of the first things you mentioned to me when you came here, but the legacy really, wasn't it? It was the amount of the outpouring of grief across the country.
Oh, yeah.
And a realisation of what these guys go through to keep people safe on our shores.
Yeah, because I think everyone in the country realised, you know, we were trying to rescue the rescuers. And so the support that we got nationally was great, because you had, you know, there was tough days here, but knowing you had that support really helped you kind of push on and try and get the job done, you know.
Yeah, it's so important. But you're doing a fantastic job here, and the Solace employs loads of people, and the lighthouses are still, they're alive, aren't they?
They are, yeah. Like, you know, tourism is kind of the next breathing for us, the next way we can keep the lighthouse doors open and tell their stories to the next generation of people that come along, you know.
Fergus, a lovely message in from you here. A group of us did the lighthouse tour at Fergus a couple of weeks ago. Fantastic tour. Walked Erris Head 2. Absolutely brilliant to the whole area, says Fidelma. Another one. Fergus gave us an unforgettable tour of the lighthouse last year during the worst possible weather at the end of August.
Mm-hmm.
And just go there. I hope the beautiful little model lighthouse, which was stolen, was returned, says Noel McGannon.
Yeah, we had a little ship in a bottle with Blacksod Lighthouse in it. And it was actually taken last year from downstairs, but it was returned.
Oh, thank God. I was getting worried.
We did. We got it back. Yeah, we got it back.
That's a good note to end. But thanks a million, Fergus Sweeney, and stay safe out in the waters and entertaining people.